أعوذ بالله من العليم من شر الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الميامين المنتجبين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين وما أنا عليكم بحفيظ. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This ayat mentions Baqiyatullah. And Baqiyatullah is one of the titles of our beloved 12th Imam. أين بقيةالله التي لا تخلو من العفرة الهادية. أين بقيةالله في الأرض. Where is this baqiyat of Allah on the earth? Where this earth is never ever without someone from the guiding household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So where is this baqiyatullah? In dua nutba, it's recited. And many times you will see people, they have baqiyatullah foundation, baqiyatullah. Baqiyatullah is one of the titles of the 12th Imam. This title is taken from the ayat. The ayat are related to the story of Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, who was the father-in-law of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Shu'aib, when he started to preach with his people, or to his people, the people, they had this, one of the obvious sins they were committing, they were mixing up with the weights, and they were cheating. They were cheating to the customers. They were cheating the customers. People, they will come and buy like 10 kgs or 10 pounds of apples. They will make that pounds, those weights, they will make them heavier, so that, no, lesser than the weight. Like if it's 10 pounds, they'll make it 8 pounds. So the person is seeing that these apples are 10 pounds, but they are not 10 pounds, they're 8 pounds. So they used to make mixing up and cheating with the weight and the volumes of things when they used to sell. So Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam comes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his wording that baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum. Why this greed? Why you want to have more and more and more and more? People, they get this messed up with the materialism and the material. They are always hungry. They have this hunger for getting more and more and more and more. And that is not right, because that leads you towards transgression, towards bordering your limits, towards cheating. So this greed which was inside them, they did not have satisfaction. They wanted more. This greed led them to do these kind of cheating, different types of methods of cheating. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sent Prophet Shu'aib to these people, told them that do not do. We are qawm, awful mikyala wal mizan. Oh, people, fulfill properly. Observe the weight and the volume. Bilqist, with fairness. Wala tabkhasun nas. The whole idea here is that these people, they were, because of their greed, they started to cheat. So Prophet Shu'aib tells them, baqiyatullah, whatever is remaining, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you livelihood. Whatever you have is remaining from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is better for you. It is better for you if you are a believer. Because they say, Al-qana'atu kanzun la tufna. Al-qana'a is a treasure. Everlasting treasure. If you have satisfaction, you have everything. And if you don't have satisfaction, you have nothing. Even if you own palaces and millions and kazillions and all those billions, illions and the end dollars and gold, and you don't have satisfaction, you have nothing. So this is al-qana'a. It is mentioned in the hadith that if Ibn Adam, if son of Adam, if a human being, had two valleys of gold, he would have wanted the third valley also. Third valley. So that's why this greed is not good. And this greed caused them to ignore whatever was given them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does this ayat, this Baqiyatullah, has to do with our 12th Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif? Baqiyatullah, when we say 12th Imam, he is the remaining authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. Baqiyya means from baqi, remaining. So he is the remaining authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we cannot see him, we have to believe in his existence, because we have so many evidences which indicates his existence. So this is Baqiyatullah. He is remaining. So we have to believe in Baqiyatullah. We have to believe in remaining of Allah. What does Baqiyatullah do? What does this faith in believing in the 12th Imam do? It protects us from cheating. What type of cheating? Mixing our faith. Cheating in the faith. Mixing our akhirat with dunya and messing up with our akhirat, with our hereafter. If we don't have faith about our authority, then we will lose the faith in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we lose the faith in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we lose the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we will not have the faith inside us. So that's the whole idea. Existence of this remaining authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and believing in this authority keeps us away from all types of deviation, every type of deviation. See, this is a very technical point here. The ayah talks about Prophet Shu'aib. Baqiyatullah, whatever you have is good for you, be satisfied. Don't mix up, you know, don't cheat. For us, it has different meaning. Believe in the remaining authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be secured from mixing up your religion with materialism and deviation. This is our Baqiyatullah. So, we'll continue where we stopped last night. We saw that how 12th Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajahu Sharif was helping the representative, helping the followers, helping the believers. Today we are going to talk about the attempts of his capture, like the Khalifa. The government, they tried to capture the Imam. But these attempts were failed. How? First of all, because we are going to today wrap up all the minor occultation, from tomorrow we'll start the major occultation, which is our time. Tomorrow we are going to talk about now, major occultation. Now we are going to wrap up. So before we wrap up, there was a nice description of 12th Imam from the people who saw. Now remember, there are people who saw him when he was 1 year old, a baby, he was born, like Lady Hakima. There were people, they saw him, who was 2 years old, if you recall the story of the servant. There are people, they saw him, who was 4.5 years or 4 years old, and he was tall, the guy who thought that he's 8 to 10 years old. There are people, they saw him when he was 15 years old, like the Amri, father. There are people, they saw him when he was like youth, like the Amri, the son. There are people, they saw him when he was 74 years old, and that was the end time of the minor occultation. 74 years, when he was 74 years, that was the end of, and in the time of Ali ibn Muhammad Samari, or Samari or Saimari, with different pronunciation. So, when fourth representative died, the Imam was in his 74th year. He was 74 years old. But those who saw the Imam, they never ever say, they describe him as an old person. Now they're 74, that means the white beard. Every single person who saw after, in the end time of minor occultation and after the major occultation, he was like youth. Some say he was in his 40s, some say he was in his 20s. Maybe he has big height, so he looks like 20, but he has the body of a 40 years old person. So that is the property that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved his age. People, when he will come, He will come in that age, that youthness, 20 years youthness. He will have the body of 40 years. That's why in some of the hadith it is mentioned, people, they will deny him. Why? Because they are expecting somebody very old, somebody about 1,000 years old, and this youth, no, it cannot be. These people who will be denying them, they will not have faith. Because when Imam comes, you will not know him with the looks, you will know him with your heart. If that connection is with you, between you and Imam, you will just believe in him. Those people who have lack of faith, lack of discipline, lack of obedience, lack of connection, all those kind of things, they will want some time. Oh Imam, why did you come now? So they will try to bring excuses. No, how can that be? You cannot be Imam. They know inside themselves that this is Imam. No, 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 no. You cannot be Imam. You are very young. Imam is like very old. So they will bring these excuses just to, you know, justify their desire to still live in this materialism and material world. So in some of the hadith it is mentioned that he has dark complexion, beautiful face, bright like a full moon, delighted face. That means that face is that type of face that everybody wants to look at him. Everybody wishes to look at him. This is the description of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had this delighted, beautiful face that people, they'd love to see Prophet Yusuf. They just one look and he will just invade their hearts. This is the Jamal of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beauty of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has also the beauty that people, they when they look, have a look at the face of the Prophet, they melt down. This was the nature. The face is so beautiful that people, they get attracted towards this face. So 12th Imam, that's why they describe the 12th Imam in many poetries, or Yusuf al-Zahra. Yusuf of Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayhi. Because he's the grandson of Fatima al-Zahra. So he has this amazing type, beautiful feature, where people, they look at him, they melt down inside their heart, completely like they dissolve. Even those people who will fight him, they will feel that kind of thing. But because their materialism and material desire and evil will be more stronger in their heart, they will reject him. The same way Abu Lahab did, the same way Yazid and Shimr and all these people, accursed ones, did with the beloved ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam. So, he will have this solemnity and prestige. And he has, some of them they say, his beauty is in a way that I have never ever seen a beauty like the beauty of the face of the Imam. That kind of beauty. And no one has the sound as sweet as his sound. These people who heard the Imam and who saw the Imam, they are describing. He has this fragrance. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people when they used to pass by the Prophet, they will smell the fragrance of rose, ra'ihat al-ward. That's why that red rose, many people they call al-ward al-muhammadi, because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this fragrance of rose. So he had some special type of fragrance, and he was seen in that age of when he was child. And whenever then he was seen either in the middle age or in his youthness. So now, these are the descriptions of the 12th Imam. Place of the 12th Imam we mentioned, he was seen in Samarra, Baghdad, Hajj, Egypt, all these different places. So, but today we want to talk about these attempts of capturing the Imam. We said that Mu'tamad al-Abbasi, there were three attempts. Attempt number one, they tried to capture the Imam when the issue, the delegation of Qom came, we mentioned, I'm not going to mention this story again. They came and they had this money, and Ja'far, uncle of Imam Hassan al-Imam, the 12th Imam, took him, dragged all this delegation to the Khalifa, to the ruler, and demanding that I am the rightful person, I am the rightful Imam. At the end, we mentioned that the delegation, they were leaving, and they came back, and the 12th Imam met them, and they gave them. Once Ja'far found out that this was done, he had this grudge and animosity. He went and made a complaint that there is the 12th, that there is the Mahdi you are waiting for. He is there, he is in the house of Hasan al-Askari, and they raided the house of Imam Hasan al-Askari, and they did not find, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the miraculous power, Imam had escaped that area, and they captured the mother for 1 or 2 years, and then they released her after, between house arrest and prison. After that they released her. So this was the first attempt to capture the Imam. It was in the time of Mu'tamad, the Abbasi Caliph. Second time, Mu'tadid. In the time of Mu'tadid, the government had moved to Baghdad. Before it was in Samarra, in Iraq. Then it had moved to Baghdad. When it had moved to Baghdad, here what happened, that there were people, spies, there were still spies surrounding Imam Hasan al-Askari. They did not ignore them. As you mentioned previously, that still they were watching the movement of whoever is going inside the house coming. So the spies, they told them that they have seen a youth inside this house, with people that are coming to him, they are visiting him, and all these kind of things. Then what happened, the Mu'tabas al-Abbasi, he sent 3 persons. These 3 people, they were there to arrest the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. When they came, one of them was Rashiq. He was in between, half-half. But 2 others, they were loyal to the Abbasi Caliph. Now, when they come inside the house, they search everywhere, they couldn't find anything. They go to the basement. We call this Sardab, basement. They went into the basement, and they found a room, a secret hidden room. It had curtains. This Rashiq, the narrator, he said, I lifted the curtain, and I saw a beautiful youth. He was offering his salah on a nice mat. And this mat, the sajjada, this hasir, it was like it is on sea, on ocean, on water. So Rashiq and that person, the person was offering salah, he was ignoring them. He was in his salah, nothing, as no one is watching. So what happened? One of the soldiers, he tries to pass, he tries to go and capture this youth. He drowns, he sinks, he starts to drown. The other two, Rashiq and the other guy, they pull him out, and they bring him on the side. And this guy has lost his consciousness. He was knocked down. The other one, he said, I will do. He said, I will go and I will cross this piece of water. He tried to cross the piece of water, he was sinking, and here Rashiq tried to save him, he could not save him. This Rashiq, he started to say, please forgive me, I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me. Nothing, no attention. That person was offering his salah in between salah in different realm. Why did Imam ignore him? Because if he had sincerely repented, he would not have gone back to the Khalif and gave this information. He would have concealed it. But it was just to save himself from any serious thing happens. Like Fir'aun. When Fir'aun, he was drowning, he said, oh Musa, I have repented now. What now? After all that, after all hurting, killing, murdering, every kind of torture, and now you say, when you see the death, you're saying, oh, I repent. No. So the same thing happened to this person. This person, he saw the fear here. He was terrified. Say, forgive me, and left. When they left, they came to the Khalifa. The Khalifa was so upset. Did you inform this to anybody? They said, no. Don't you ever say this story to anybody else. Because they don't want miracles coming out and leaking out from the Khalifa himself. You know? So they said, if you mention this story to anybody, you will be beheaded. So Rashiq mentions that after the death of the Khalifa, they mentioned the story. So this was the second attempt. What happened here, when the Rashiq and the other guy, they informed about the existence of the Imam, this is the third raid. The Khalifa sent a huge army, and they surrounded the house of Imam. The house of Imam in Samarra was under siege. Now here what happened? They heard. Now Imam is also not trying to run away here and there, no. Imam is trying to challenge them. Imam was reciting the Holy Quran loudly. They could hear that there's a youth inside the basement reciting the Quran. So they surrounded. And they were waiting for the commander. The commander was from the other side of the house, from where the basement door is open. So the commander was there. They saw this youth come out. They couldn't do anything. They're just watching. And he goes to the commander's side, and they thought that commander will capture him. And he goes away. The commander comes, and he says, what happened? He said, didn't you catch him? The youth was beside you and your men. He goes, I didn't see any youth. What are you talking about? Why didn't you catch him? So we thought you will catch him. So Imam alayhi salatu wasalam went in front of their eyes without them being observed, without the commander. Now this is not impossible. The same thing happened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. In the night of migration, the Prophet's house was completely surrounded by the enemies of Islam, by the enemies of Prophet Muhammad. They had the swordmen. They said that if someone kills Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, because the Arabs, they had this retaliating nature. One kills, they will, for the retaliation, they will come and they will wipe out the tribe of the murderer. Not just the murderer, they will wipe up everybody, the whole tribe. This was their nature. So what happened? The Arabs, they said, let's take from every tribe one swordman. Every tribe. So they got together, like more than 20 swordmen. Because if one tribe doesn't participate, there's a problem. You're against us or with us. So that kind of mentality, even the idol worshippers, they had. Either with us or against us. No, we are with you. So they came and they surrounded the house. Now what happened? They had this plan that nobody will strike before. Everybody will strike together. Because Bani Hashim, they cannot retaliate all of us. If one strikes, then he will be cornered. So Bani Hashim will retaliate from this person's strike. So this was the plan, to strike all of them, one strike, and cut the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into pieces. This was the plan. What happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the successor of the Prophet. Those people who analyzed the history, they said that these people, they're peeking inside the house of the Prophet, still he's sleeping or not. So they were not able to distinguish the difference between the Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. So that shows that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is nafsul rasul, the self of the Prophet. And nobody can take the place of Prophet except Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. So after Imam Ali was there, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam told Imam Ali, are you willing to sleep in this bed? He said, yes Rasulullah. But it is death, there is a death. You know, the possibility of death is there. They might cut you into pieces. He said, look at the answer. No, Prophet, no, I don't want to die. Did he say like that, like some of the companions who hid on the mountains behind the stones? No. Prophet said, oh Prophet, oh Messenger of Allah, are you going to be secured? He said, yes, I don't care. Let these swords take me in, you know. This is the bravery of Imam Ali, the sacrifice. He doesn't care, as long as the Prophet is saved. So here the Prophet comes out, opens the door. These people, they are surrounding the house, you know. Nobody could observe the Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to prove to them that he passed from them, in front of their eyes, he took the sand from the ground, the dirt, and kept on their heads, one over another, and left, you know. So after that, they became aware, what's happened? It's the time, let's go in. They went in, and they took the cover. Ali ibn Abi Talib, where is the Prophet? He said, Imam Ali was smiling. He went and look at the dust on your head, you know. He went and he kept the dust. So this is nothing. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, the 12th Imam, goes in between them. Some of them they see, they couldn't do anything. Some of them they could not see him going in front of them. Imam Ali, the 12th Imam is telling them, what are you guys? You have your fake powers, material powers. I have the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to me. The same thing that Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Prophet Dawood, the Goliath or Jalut, he comes and he asks challenge from Bani Israel. Bani Israel, oh Jalut, we are not going to go out. He's giant, he's great, he's mighty. You know, Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam tells the king, Talut, I will go. But you are youth, you are this, you are young. And he said, see, if I will die, you will not lose your dignity. This giant killed a shepherd, a young youth shepherd. And if I kill him, then that will be the might praise for Bani Israel that a young 18-year-old shepherd killed the mighty warrior. So Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam comes out. Jalut says, "Who are you? What did they send to me? A small boy? You know, I'm here with the mighty power and I'm here with all the bravery." Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam tells him, "Jalut, you come with all your power, all your might. I come with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not underestimate me. I have nothing. I have Allah with me." And therefore, Prophet Dawood killed this mighty warrior with what? With 7 small pieces of stone. He chose 7 sensitive parts of his body. One after another, he fell down. Prophet Dawood strikes him and took care of him. So this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Haven't you seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the people of Atom Bomb or people of WMD? No, Shaykh, what are you talking about? This is not WMD. These are elephants. Yes, elephants were WMD of that time. These were the atom bombs of that time. If they want to destroy any building, they'll just bring these elephants. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the superpower of Abraha, with these atom bombs and WMD, with what? With the weakest thing on the earth. Not stones. Pieces of clay. Pieces, small pieces of clay, killed this mighty army of Abraha. So when it comes to power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nothing comes in front of power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can choose the weakest thing on the earth and it can destroy the mightiest people. مَنْ عَظَّمَ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ. Whoever greatens the affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَذَلَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ عُظَمَاءَ خَلْقِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate, bring all the great ones of His creation down to Him. This is those people who connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who strengthen their ties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the 12th Imam ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif came out from there, nobody could spot. Everything was done. So these are the 3 raids mentioned in the history. There might be more raids, but these are the 3 raids which Allama Sayyid Muhammad al-Sadr rahmatullah alayh, he mentioned. And finally, at the end, we will mention some of the quotes of the 12th Imam which are important for us. Like for example, one of the letters of the 12th Imam mentions about the issue of khums. Now khums is a very important obligation. This Islamic center needs your khums. All the religious activities needs your khums. Everywhere you go, and Islam needs your khums. Because Islam's money doesn't come from government. Islam's money comes from the people, the charity. If you give khums, don't say that I'm giving khums. No. It's not your money. Like tax money. Will you tell the Uncle Sam, no, this is my money? No, they will take it from you. This is not your money. When it comes to the tax, even Uncle Sam will not relieve you. This is not you. Take it out, otherwise we'll come and milk it out from you. So, when it comes to Islam, when it comes to the khums issue, the khums money is not your money. Khums money is the 12 Imam's money. Khums money is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's money. Khums money is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's money. So here we have to be very careful. We should not consider, like if you have $10 at the end of the year, these $2 are not yours. You had an option to use it, but now it's saving. Now this two is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's money. That means you have to take it out. You have to give it to the mujtahid who is known to be secured in his behavior, in his character. And it is better to surrender to your marja al-taqlid. Obligatory precaution to surrender, give it to your marja of taqlid or its representative. Now, look at the imam dealing with these people who are not paying the khums. In one of the letters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, La'natullah, beginning curse. From the beginning, Allah's curse, وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ and the angels, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ and the curse of people. Many people, they say, oh, people are not allowed to curse. Quran tells us, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. I'm telling you, there are people, They pretend themselves that they are so much fond of Quran and religion, but they don't know these mere, the simple things mentioned in the Quran. They say, no, you cannot curse. Why? Because only Allah curses. Why? In fact, if you curse, of course I'm not going to tell you to go and specifically curse specific people, but we are talking in general. If I say La'natullahi ala al-zalimeen, I have to. This is one of the ways I express my faith, which is denouncing the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denouncing the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. So cursing, if it does not become wajib, it is mustahab to express that you don't have any ties with these people who have disconnected their ties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the Messenger of Allah, and with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. So see, the 12th Imam says, curse of Allah and the angel and the people, all of the people, not few people, even the evil ones, they will curse evil ones on the Day of Judgment. You'll be surprised, you know, because one evil in the deviated one in the hellfire will curse another. Because of you, I got deviated. Curse on you. So, because people, they drag themselves to the hellfire, they are going to be cursed and will beside those. For whom? عَلَى مَنِ اسْتَحَلَّ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا دِرْهَمًا. Whoever makes halal, whoever permits himself to make one dirham halal on himself. One dirham. From that $10, these $2, if you take a penny from it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse will fall upon you. It is very important to understand. This is our 12th Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. In another letter, min itrati ma harram Allahu, whoever takes al mustahil min itrati ma harram Allah, mal'oon. Imam says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever takes something from my household, makes it halal and it's not halal on him, he is cursed. Ala lisani, the Prophet said, by my tongue, wa lisani kulli nabiyyin, and every messenger sent from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to Khatam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the 12th Imam telling us, don't eat our money. You know, people, they are attacking us. People, they are oppressing us. People, why are you participating with them? Why are you supporting them? Why are you their partner? No, we are not their partners. When you eat our homes, you are their partners. They curse us with their tongue. You loot us. They curse us with their tongue, but you are stealing our money. And the Ahlul Bayt money is not for them. It is for Islam. Ahlul Bayt, they don't need money. So it's as same as the one who looted Fadak from Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha. If you eat khums money, you are partner of that person who looted Fatima to Zahra. Remember, don't curse fulan or something like that, and you are looting the money of Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha. Ala la'natullahi ala al-zalimeen. All these, faman zalamana, whoever oppressed us and is unjust to us, fi jumlati al-zalimeen lana. وَكَانَ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ لِقَوْلِهِ أَلَى لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah's curse will be upon him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the oppressors, on the wrongdoers, on the unjust who unjust others. So all these kind of indications tell us. So if you are somewhere and your community needs your help, you give them help. But when you stay home, don't think that you are giving help. This is not help. This is the marja or the mujtahid or the Islamic center is helping you, relieving your responsibility, keeping the curse away from you. But after you pay khums, you donate, that is your help to the Islamic center. Because most of the Islamic centers in Dearborn or out of Dearborn, they are being deprived. They are complaining of the financial issues. Why? Because we are not fulfilling our responsibility. We are, Imam, I pledge you, I will support you. Come on, support me now, you know. There's a religious organization, it needs help. Why are you not supporting me now? If you are not supporting me now, you are not going to support me when I come. Because this is the pattern you have inside yourself. So let's start supporting our Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, with all what we have. Khums, that's a wajib. No, beyond, about the khums. Let's support our centers. Let's support our Islamic organizations, associations with what we have. That support is the support of the 12th Imam. And at the end, I'll just mention briefly the minor occultation. We mentioned the minor occultation started with the death of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam, activation of the imamate of the 12th Imam, and the four representatives, Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Amri and Muhammad ibn Uthman, the son al-Amri, and Hussein ibn Ruh al-Nawbakhti, and Ali ibn Muhammad al-Samari, and the minor occultation lasted for about 69 years, and it encountered the Abbasi Khalifas, al-Mu'tamad, المعتضد المعتكف المقتدر القاهر الراضي. These were the tyrants of Abbasi caliphs or Abbasi rulers in that time. And of course, in that time, we mentioned that there was the appearance or the rise of Fatimi dynasty. It encountered our 12th Imam's occultation. A person came out, pop up from nowhere. He said, "I'm Mahdi. I am grandson of Ismail, son of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, and I am the Mahdi." And they were able to take the northern strip of Africa and the rise of the Dawla al-Mahdawiyya, which later on became the Fatimid dynasty. And then some of the Fatimid dynasty then was divided later on. And the Qaramita, this was another dynasty which came out, which was from the Ismaili, but these were root people. And then we had a Shia dynasty which rise in Persia at the same time, which was called Ad-Dawla al-Buwayhiyya or Buwayhid. And we mentioned at this time the Alawid revolutions which started, Thawrat al-Alawiyya, from Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. This was the time where they almost were down. Not completely, but almost were down. And then we mentioned that the challenges of this period was extreme use of taqiyya by the followers of the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. And there were fabricated representatives such as we mentioned last night, Shalmaghani. And what was the direction of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam? His duties we mentioned, we brief it in 4 points, communicating with the followers through the representatives and solving their problems, answering their questions and giving them general direction. These are all concepts proven by Sayyid Muhammad al-Sadr rahmatullah alayh. People, they say, "Oh, how will you know that Imam came, Imam saw, Imam this?" This is one of the ayatullahs who has done a good research. And he puts all these evidences in front that there are people they used to communicate with our beloved 12th Imam. Number two, allowing some of the people to meet him and to look at him and then performing miracles. We mentioned some of the miracles. There are plenty of miracles mentioned in the books of those who met the 12th Imam. He performed many miracles. The representatives, they gave predictions and they told about unseen al-ghayb and unknown. And he totally was away from the eyes of the government. Only 3 times you mentioned he was under raid. And twice, the first time they did not see him, the second time they saw him, those three men from the government, the spies who came, and then finally the part of the army, they saw the 12th Imam leaving that area. And in this time, total trust was given from the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam to the representatives. Why? Because they saw magnificent things come out from these representatives, miracles and predictions, and things which were not known. They used to inform about that, like informing about the time, specific time of the death of a few people and one of the representatives. So inshallah, tomorrow we are going to start our major occultation, which is our time. And this is what is more important for us, to see what in our time, how the 12th Imam is dealing with his people, with his communities, what are our responsibilities towards our 12th Imam, besides paying the khums money. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the path of Ahlul Bayt, with Ahlul Bayt in this world and the world hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the appearance of our 12th Imam soon and keep us among his sincere and loyal supporters in his occultation and after his occultation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all our marhumin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this holy month a month of peace, prosperity, dignity and faith for all the Muslims and around the world and for the every peaceful human being. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and shortcomings. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.